welcome to a Wednesday morning on the Steakhouse. 2 hours of unbridled sports talk, entertainment talk, whatever else. Maybe a place to get a good Cuban sandwich talk. Who knows? Although we got a busy, busy day ahead. Sandra is here as well. And how are you? You look nice.
Great, thank you. We have a meeting today. Yeah.
I know, like, you outdress me. Normally, I like them, you know, put the blazer on and the whole thing. But
you always look nice.
Anyways, we're going over to see our friends at Solomon Brothers. Haven't been over there in a while, right?
Yes.
So looking forward to that after the show. And how is your evening?
Good.
You came in
watched
from the lake
Brave.
Again.
Yeah, drove in from the lake. Very busy at the lake these days. But I watched the Braves. It was a frustrating night. It was a long game. Woo! Walk a few players much. So, yeah, that was what I did and headed here this morning. So we got 12:15 game time today.
Yeah,
we got the getaway
game because they're headed to Arizona. So can they end their homestand at 5-1? We shall see. Talk some NBA. Jarrett Greenberg will be with us. A lot of stories out there in the NBA, not the least of which is the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young and new head of basketball operations. But more than that, just in general, inside the NBA, wrapping up in the current iteration, meaning I guess it's moved to ESPN next year on a contract with the...
I don't understand it.
I know. It's
confusing. And well, tell me where it is and when I can watch it.
Right, exactly right.
I hope they don't change a thing.
Yeah.
So, and
I think it's much ado about nothing. It's still going to... Well, it's not going to be on TNT. That's not much to do about nothing.
Well, I changed the channel. I know. I mean, they make so much of it behind the scenes, but to an audience member, I'm like, just tell me what channel. I got it.
Yeah, you're right.
I know how to watch it.
I guess folks in the business, it's a bigger deal. Because then what does that mean to the other show, which is Stephen A. Smith and Kendrick Perkins and whoever else is on that deal? Wilbon, I guess. Because then what's their show and then what's the other show? But you're right. Anyway, he'll be with us. Chip Carey, former voice of the Braves, voice of the Cardinals, friend of the show. He'll be with us. Right?
Yes, Chip Carey is on at 10:25. Certainly Atlanta Braves.
You've been buddies with him a long time.
Oh my God. I've been on the road with all that whole crew. They're just great, great people. Now he's the voice of the Cardinals.
When you were doing the Braves, he was the voice?
No, when I was at CSS, he was the voice. But when I was working with the Braves,
was Skip Carey the voice when you were the sideline reporter?
Skip and them were still there, and
Joe Simpson,
and I was with Bob and Bob Rathbun and Tom Pachoric.
Wow.
Myself, so
okay.
Yeah. So I was back in the 30s. A lot you weren't born in, you guys.
Some of the guys listening. So that's coming up as well. NFL draft is tomorrow. There's stories all over the place. Kirk Cousins trying to confirm that he was. I mean, all the video they're showing is Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix. You know it's not video from yesterday because they're all wrapped up in, like, parkas. Like
the Falcons did a welcome back to the building kind of thing, and they showed 14 different players on their Twitter feed and their Instagrams. Not one of them was Kirk. Now, I'm not saying he wasn't there, but I'm trying to figure out why. Is he hidden in the back? Was he let in the back door? Zach Klein had the story, and Zach Klein is very reputable.
Yeah, Zach Klein just texted me. He's at Terry Fontenot's press conference right now. We'll have coverage of that. He said, yes, I did break it. I got a tip and confirmed it. ESPN, NFL Network, et cetera, have credited properly.
He is the only one. And I've also reached out and gotten no, like, confirmation. Yes, did someone see him with their eyes? Again, I'm just, you know me, the conspiracy theory as a real journalist.
Journalist! Well,
okay, I believe Zach.
Yeah, because Zach, this is what he does
best. Did Zach see him with his own eyes? He's got confirmation from inside the building, a source that he trusts.
Yeah, so it says I got it confirmed. So.
But don't you find it weird if the Falcons and their messaging...
And they got 50 photos. Why
and they've
would
got
they
100 people inside the building it only that
makes,
no one has a
it
picture
It only
of.
Makes them look better that
That's
Kirk
right.
would show up.
Right.
So...
Now, I don't know if Kirk said no pictures and no interviews. That's not like him.
Well, he's doing it for the pictures and interviews. He's doing
so
it to show he's
doesn't
a team
make
guy.
Sense to me, I'm just a little baffled by it.
Yeah. Well, we'll try to get to the bottom of it. Well, also, I assume we're monitoring the Terry press conference, so we'll have those cuts as well.
Although I've never seen press conferences less interesting, and this
my,
is not
my least
Terry
favorite.
A GM you're interviewing the day before the draft. Okay. Good luck, everybody. He's not going to say a thing. They all have liabetes right now. They're lying.
I've never heard that before. Have you said that before? Liabetes. I like that.
Yes.
Never heard that.
Feel free to
Listen, there's a lot of press conferences that are tedious. You know how much I get tired of spring training and NFL preseason and all that. But this is one of the all-timers. Except when I interviewed Billy Knight with the Hawks, and he literally was telling us he was probably going to he liked Sheldon Williams, and we're like, for the love of God, don't take Sheldon Williams at 5. Please don't take him or whatever when Chris Paul was available. And sure enough, he went and took him, and we've been paying that price. I'm sorry. Chris Paul was Marvin Williams. We took Marvin Williams over Chris Paul. Sheldon Williams, I'll go back and look, he took over somebody else as well. Anyways, there's a lot on the table. If you're driving around Atlanta, hopefully you're listening on the Odyssey app. And this station is going to be on fire for the next 5 days with the NFL draft going on, obviously, and so many other stories to get into, and how this whole juxtaposition of you know, where we're falling and how many picks and what's going on with Kirk Cousins and where Aaron Rodgers headed and where are these quarterbacks, Jackson, Darius Sanders, and other guys going to land. And it's just going to be fascinating what happens within our division, certainly with New Orleans. And then you sent us a Marcus Mariota interview, which was kind of fascinating yesterday as well. We'll talk about that, explaining how it all exploded and blew up and why he, you know, essentially left his team and never came back. So there's a lot of stuff to get into in the next, now we're down to 110 minutes. 110 minutes left.
Braves lose 10-4, snapping that four-game win streak. It was a bullpen game. It was an opener game, whatever you want to call it. All eyes on the eighth inning where the Cardinals scored three and they scored another three in the ninth. So Wilson Contreras drew a 9-pitch, 2-out walk. However, there was a check swing in there, which would have been a third called strike out.
A called third strike, which would have
out.
Yeah, it would have been
okay. So they call it.
Out.
He didn't go. So the next pitch is a ball, and he flips his bat for a walk. Like he had just hit a bomb of a home run.
Yeah, you said he pimped a walk.
I was like, I don't understand
the term, right?
This. So P.S., long of the short, now we got three on base, and De Los Santos gives up a double, clears the bases, and now you score three. So anywho, that's kind of how it went down. The wheels came off in the ninth as well. I'm just wondering, like, did you, Braves fans, I was like, that's a bit much.
You
so
were
today
angry.
Was gonna,
you were,
I, yeah,
you were
I didn't
angry.
Like it. I was angry also that they were up 4-2 and the fourth, and then they lost the game. So, anywho,
I mean,
it's one of those nights. Sorry.
Yeah, 5-game winning streak snapped. They can win the series.
4-game win streak snapped.
Did they win the final game of the road trip? I guess you're right.
They'd won four in a row.
Okay.
So, they were
going for five.
Yeah.
Today they'll go for 2 out of 3. That would make it a 5-1 homestand before heading to Arizona.
Bryce Elder goes today. Miles Michaelis, which Bo, my buddy, pointed out that he was the worst pitcher in baseball until Sunday when Charlie Morton took that over stat-wise. So go get him today and then hit the road.
What are you based on? ERA? Is it on
StatCast?
I think it's StatCast metrics.
Okay.
Pitchers that started, you know, opening day or the first week of the season.
All right.
News and notes. Spencer Strider, grade 1 hamstring, which is the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is he's day to day. You don't know how this thing is going to work. I'll tell you this much, that Michael Harris had a grade 2 strain, and he was out for 3 years, it felt like, right? It was a long time. So you don't know when he's coming back.
Go ahead.
His IL started on, they were able to date it back to the 18th. So anyway, just keep an eye on that. And our buddy, Craig Kimbrell, called up to Gwinnett yesterday. He was dominant at AA, whatever that means. So we can keep an eye on that. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Spencer Strider's interview yesterday, I hadn't seen it. Boy, he's got a lot of Chris Sale in him as well. He's like, I have given this organization 0 in the last year. And now, something as dumb as this, I'm out in the outfield. This is unbelievable. This organization, I've let everybody down. I've let the fans down. I mean, he was so...
I haven't earned my paycheck. I haven't got my paycheck.
Yeah.
I
mean, it's just to see professional athletes who are kind of, you know, when you see that they wear it and they feel like, you know, he's a leader. Chris Sale talks the same way. That's why you just have this fantasy of those two guys out in front, 1-2, starting in the postseason and saying we could beat anybody, but we got to get them both right. Chris Sale's out right in terms of the season he's having on the mound. Spencer Strider not able to be out there, but one start so far.
Right on. You want me to go through the NBA scores from last night? Are you interested? All right.
Well, I'm interested.
So
yeah.
Pacers win 123-115.
Yeah, Giannis and Dame Lillard now down 2-0. They'll go back to Milwaukee.
Oklahoma City says you're adorable once again to Memphis, 118-99.
I mean, the Oklahoma City is one of the most impressive built basketball teams. You want to see tremendous hoops. Oklahoma City in the finals versus the Cavs or Celtics would be unbelievable.
And the Lakers were able to tie things up. They beat Minnesota 94-85. Luka, 31 points, 12 rebounds, 9 assists. And J.J. Redick with a nice hissy fit on the court, if you guys were
screaming
able to watch
his,
this.
Guys, right?
Oh, yeah. What the? And by the way, they were up by 8 at the point. And then they came out, and I believe, a 9-0 run. And, yeah, good luck, everybody.
Yeah, LeBron laughing, saying JJ's good for one of those every so often.
And
so.
I do want to mention Trae Young's tweet, which I will talk about next segment. He says in a Twitter, Atlanta with a blue heart, 7 years down, and last I won't be in the postseason. With the
7 years, and this is the last one I will not be in the postseason meeting.
And he has a lot of, like, kind of double meaning little tweet there, if I must say. A lot of, like, he's waving goodbye, maybe last game, but is it his last game here? I don't know. I hope he's not reading the Athletic poll on players. They interviewed about 160 NBA players.
That's a lot of guys.
Voting on anonymously, and he came in third. It's the most overrated player in the NBA.
We'll ask Jared Greenberg about that. Also, how do the Hawks become relevant? What's the best storyline going on right now in basketball? And the end of an era at TNT for Inside the NBA. He's been on set with Charles and that whole crew many times. We'll find about his life. He's flying. He's got a playoff game tonight. He'll talk to us from the airport. That's coming up. Lots more on the Braves. Lots more on the draft. Lots more on everything you want to hear for the next 2 hours. Steak Sandra on the Steakhouse. It's Steak and Sandra. Good morning. Thanks for being a part of the program. As we continue on a Wednesday with a lot of stuff to get to, got to control my ADHD and make sure we're hitting on all cylinders here. Chip Carey joining us next hour. We'll have more on the Terry Fontenot press conference and Jared Greenberg coming up in just a second as well. Reminding you, 9 o'clock hours brought to you by your buddies at Wise Guys, right?
WiseGuysProWash.com. Just heard me talk about them. I was bragging to Steak literally when we don't need to be about what a great company this is. So
all right.
I stand by them.
Why don't you need to be? What does that mean?
Because I always feel like, you know, just are they just paid to just talk about stuff? Sometimes yes, right. But you can always tell when somebody really feels passionate about these people. So
well, that's why you're.
I don't hire companies; I hire people.
Okay.
You can steal out into Steaky.
I got that.
You look good. You look skinny. Are you dieting? What's going on in
your
life?
No, it's just like the right shirt. No, I feel fat.
Wear that shirt all the time.
I feel fat. Then, well, I appreciate it. So, no, I'm not working out because my back is all jacked up, and I've been going through tests on all that. So I'm frustrated, and I said I got to wear black today because I'm feeling. I've been eating my feelings, you know.
Aww.
But that's okay.
All right.
That's my job. I'm supposed to eat my feelings when you,
that's our
when
job.
You run a company
women.
Called Atlanta Eats. That's that's what you do. So lots to get to. Braves lose last night. They got the getaway game today. We love the Wednesday matinees.
12:15, too. It's early.
We used to have a lot of fun when we were doing our show, and we do it from the ballpark at Turner Field, right?
Yeah.
And then Braves are off doing this.
Peter Moylan and Nick Green, if you guys were watching, we're talking about last night, the getaway days now. They used to, like, after a day game in Atlanta, you would go home and then you would come back to the ballpark on a Thursday and travel on a Thursday.
That it?
Now they leave today.
Yeah, no, they're leaving on like 3:30.
Yeah, so they get a whole day off in Arizona. I'm guessing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Pack the golf clubs. See?
Speaking of a guy in an airport, this guy doesn't fly private, but he should because that's the level of gravitas that he has. He's Jared Greenberg from, you know, NBA, TNT, all of it. What airport are you at? Where are you headed? What playoff game are we calling?
So I just did Pacers-Bucks last night. I'm headed to the sister city of Indianapolis. It's called Los Angeles. It's right next door to each other. I'm going to go do the Clippers and Nuggets game 3 tomorrow night.
They don't like each other too much, the Bucks and Pacers, huh? That was a little
That was
chippy.
Fun last night.
That was chippy.
Yeah, I loved it. Loved it. It's an old school basketball.
Halliburton said after the game, like, what are you asking me? I don't like those guys at all. It's very, very clear.
Exactly. Can we talk about something more important about the city of Indianapolis?
Yes.
I found 2 weeks ago I was here doing a game, and did you know that there is a famous Jewish deli here called Shapiro's?
Yes, I do. Shapiro's Deli.
Boy!
And you can walk from downtown Indy. It's about 5 blocks to Shapiro's Deli. Did you go?
Yeah. I went line out the door. It's cafeteria style, old school. You got to get a tray and wait in line.
What was your order?
Oh, come on. Well, I'm trying to be a little healthy these days, but I went with their oven roasted turkey, coleslaw, Russian dressing on Jewish rye.
Oh, that's strong. Strong call right there. Jared Greenberg with us. Let me ask you a question about, first of all, explain to me and Sandra, because we're confused and we're not that bright, we know, but NBA, the greatest show that's ever been in sports television. Game Day's just a little behind it, and then maybe the original, I don't know, NFL and CBS or whatever you want to call it. So the show remains intact for all intents and purposes that you work on as well. It's just going to be in another network, and it's going to be licensed to that network the way they licensed the McAfee show. Is it? Am I getting it right, or do we? Is that what it is?
Yeah, so, I mean, the way I understand it is that the show is going to look and feel like it always has for the last 30 years. You know, the same people who produce it, the same studio that it's in, the same people behind the scenes, the same people in front of the camera. You're just going to watch it on a different network.
It's the ultimate respect that the NBA, and you know Adam Silver probably got involved and said, that's a product we can't lose, and basically forced the parties to come together. Now, what would you tell people in the business or anybody, you know, that wants to listen to you, why is Inside the NBA, a show that you've hosted when Ernie's not, you've been on set with every one of those guys, you've been in that show countless times, what do they understand that nobody else in sports television previously or you know, now understands as well as the group that you have up the street here in Atlanta?
Well, the other night is a perfect example. I don't know if you guys saw what happened with Shaq. These guys are told, it's drilled into them. Tim Kiley, who's the genius behind it, who's the producer of the show, who's returned to do it this year. He's always drilled into them. Be yourself. Be who you are. And the other night, Shaq had to go use the restroom. He had to go so bad. And on other shows, that person would just be uncomfortable and just sit there. Shaq got up and went to go use the restroom. And that's organic. That's real. And I think part of what makes the show so amazing is that it's unscripted. I think so many other shows, and like comedy has to be genuine. It has to be authentic. And so many other shows try and script their comedy. Like, you watch these other shows and you see them, like, they're in meetings for weeks trying to craft a bit. We don't, at TNT, we don't craft bits. They just happen because people are funny. And then the other part of it is the camaraderie and the chemistry. Like, you got to have these guys stay together. If something is working, you got to keep it together. You can't just plug in different people, you know, on different nights because of scheduling. No, you got to say, these four guys make it work. Make them work together every night.
I will say that, and Clark Kellogg was in on this one, and I know you did the college stuff as well. The night that Charles Barkley said that I showered after the game in my uniform and tried to move on from that, anybody put it up on YouTube. You had literally three guys go, hold on a second. What did you play in the 1800s? When did you shower in your uniform and go right to the plane? Or whatever he said was one of the funniest 3-4 minutes that I've ever seen. And it's just to me. And the other night when Charles like, I'm going on a diet. And Kenny's like, what diet is that? You gonna take, which shots are you going to take? Is it called Mounjaro? Is that your diet? I mean, like, who else just throws that out there, right?
Right. No, it's tremendous. And these guys are real. Like, I mean, you've hung out. You guys have hung out with Charles. You know what it is. He is who he is. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, let's go NBA. The Atlanta Hawks make a move. What do you think about where we sit as a franchise, desperately trying to be relevant? We go, okay, we got a good rookie. We got Dyson Daniels. We got Okongwu looks better. We got Trey had a great year. But it's the same old deal. You're not covering them this weekend. You didn't cover them last year. You're not covering the year before that. What about an Atlanta fan desperate to be relevant and Landry Fields getting fired?
Yeah, I feel bad for that front office. I think they deserved more time to get this done. I just think that, like so many other organizations, they gotta pick a direction and they have to make some hard decisions. And that decision obviously is going to begin here with what they do with this draft pick. You know, I'm no expert in the college world landscape, but from what I hear, the Hawks should be able to get a really talented person. But let's face it, even if they somehow land Cooper Flagg, they're not going to be a team that contends for a championship in the next year, probably even in the year after that. I mean, look at the Spurs, who got Victor Wembanyama, who's going to be the face of the NBA for the next 20 years. They're still not a relevant team. So it takes time. I think the next hard decision is going to be on Trae Young. The organization has to decide whether he is part of the future or whether it's time to move on from him and they can get some assets that can help put them in a direction and on a path that clearly has an end goal that's attainable.
Tander, what's the list of the top guys? The Athletic has 150 players anonymously.
158 NBA players they pulled in anonymously. And two categories jumped out. Most overrated player, Tyrese Halliburton, Rudy Gobert, and coming in at third was Trae Young.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something. This overrated, doesn't that just kind of say people don't like him? Like, I don't like him.
Well, I think it also speaks to the impact of winning. Like Steak said, he had a great year, and I challenged that by saying, "Did he? Like, what was great about it?
Right.
That the fact that he led the league in assists. Okay, so what? He didn't impact winning enough, right? And that's the problem. And sure, it's not all on him, and there's plenty of other legitimate reasons why they didn't win. I would just say like. There's got to be more tangible stuff here with this organization that you say we've got a direction that we're going in.
I'll follow up then by saying, as the awards keep coming, if Defensive Player of the Year, Dyson Daniels was a finalist for Rookie of the Year. Risa Shea's a finalist, and Trey with his assist. It's all like empty numbers. It means nothing as we sit home on April 23rd again.
Yeah. No, you're right, and I think particularly like in the Eastern Conference too, right? Like the East is just not up top. The top couple teams, Boston, Cleveland. You know, you can argue New York, whatever. Those teams are good, really good. But the bottom of the East is bad. The fact that the Hawks did not even make the playoffs this year, I think, is probably one of the biggest reasons why ownership went in a different direction with this front office.
All right, we got about 90 seconds left for Jared Green.
Do you think Trey's going to be traded?
I do. Yes.
All right. 90 seconds. Did you read the article about Nico Harris and ESPN? I forget who put it. I want to give him credit.
Tim McMahon.
Yeah. I mean, what jumped out of you from that piece?
Stop doing press conferences.
Well, yeah, but also that. How do you alienate? You alienate Dirk Nowitzki. You alienate Luka. You alienate everybody's team. It's just like Nico Harrison. God bless him, man. But it was not a good portrayal behind the scenes of an ego that has run amok.
No, and it's crazy too because Nico has one of the great behind the scenes reputations in the NBA. Right, comes from Nike. Was a big time executive. Really sophisticated, well spoken person. Kind of shocking how all this has gone down recently. It feels like there's more to come out. And I would imagine with some of the reporters we have covering the NBA, that information is going to come out at some point.
Are you surprised how good a coach J.J. Redick appears to be or how confident?
I'm not surprised about how confident he is. The guy has been one of the most confident guys going back to Duke, speaking of, like, you know, disliked people, right? Like, yeah. he was one of the most, and he'll tell you this first and foremost, he's one of the most disliked athletes to ever come out of Duke.
Yeah, I think he's number two after Leitner, they say, most hated. Yep. But boy, did he lay into the Lakers last night. Literally on mic, what the F are you guys doing? LeBron's face, Luka's face, the whole deal.
Yeah, listen, he's so smart, like just so freaking smart. His basketball IQ is through the roof, and he's doing a great job.
How much talent is on the floor if Oklahoma City plays Boston or Cleveland? Is that a embarrassment of riches in terms of NBA talent?
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you win by 70-plus points in two playoff games, Oklahoma City is so – I wish people would pay more attention to this organization, like what they've done, how good they are, how fun they – like people who complain about the three-point shot or people not playing defense in the NBA, watch Oklahoma City. You watch it for a quarter. You'll start to really love the NBA.
If those teams play any combination, that's as deep as any two rosters you're going to see in the league in a long time.
No question. And I think Boston and OKC, like, listen, there's a reason why you're seeing a lot of OKC in primetime big games in the playoffs, because the league knows there's a long runway for this team. They're going to be around for a long time.
All right, go find that Jewish deli in L.A. What's it called? Langer's, I think it is. You been?
I've never been there. I've been to Wexler's Deli, which is really good in L.A.
Langer's Deli, L.A., get the Reuben. Jared, have a good flight. I don't charge you for that. Go have a good meal, and thanks for coming on always.
Appreciate it.
There he is. Jared Greenberg, NBA and TNT, NBA TV and the whole deal. And he's sideline reporter as well. When we come back, we got some stuff to get to. Jeff Francoeur is making headlines all over the country for ripping into Ronald Acuna. I mean, I'm sorry. That's how I read it. Have you heard it? We come back. Sports Radio 929. All right, it's 9:42 on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Thanks so much for being with us. Terry Fontenot and the Falcons, a lot going on over there. Voluntary OTAs absolutely confirmed by Terry Fontenot a few minutes ago that Kirk Cousins was in the building. Looks like the Falcons were out of their way to not publicize it because all the photos of guys walking in, I guess he wasn't one of them,
right?
Which seems a little petty to me. Credit to Zach Klein, who I think had it,
and I didn't
see anybody else have it. And Sandra doing her diligence saying, hey, Steak, is there anybody else confirming this? And me and Zach were going back and forth. Terry Fontenot just said it. Kirk Cousins in the building and showing up, so good for him. Obviously, Falcons will either have the most highest-priced backup quarterback in the NFL as an insurance policy to Michael Penix Jr. getting injured, or they will try to go get $10 or $20 million and hopefully something else, maybe a draft pick, and Kirk Cousins will move. There's only a few places Kirk Cousins can go at this point. Minnesota could be one of them. I got to believe that Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers will figure it out. Maybe they won't. All this conversation, obviously, about Jackson Dart and Shedeur Sanders, how does that affect places Kirk Cousins could end up? Or, indeed, you could do a lot worse than having those two guys. Kirk Cousins, an ultimate pro. He will do what he needs to do to, you know, earn that paycheck, get paid a lot of money, live in Atlanta, and be a backup quarterback. And that could still happen as well, although I think we all think at some point they're going to have to move on from that. I think they overrate. Mike Johnson said it last week. Sometimes the notion of, you know, the locker room and you know, the energy. He says guys are business doing their business. I don't know that Kirk Cousins in a quarterback room really affects the energy of the team.
Right.
But, you know. But anyway, we'll have more on that, obviously, with the draft coming up tomorrow night. Jeff Francoeur is making headlines, and some of it is trumped up. If you go to Sports Illustrated, the headline, Jeff Francoeur boldly claims the Braves don't need Ronald Acuna after the latest drama. The long and short of it was that in a radio interview with some old friends of ours, Jeff Francoeur came on and basically said to compare Ronald Acuna, and we're paraphrasing, to Jared Kelnick is simply unfair. That Ronald Acuna had an ongoing history of lackadaisical play, and that was the benching of him back in the day was the essentially the last straw. and that Jared Kelnick has never had that issue, and that's why you cannot look at him the same way. He basically feels like he's, you know, I mean, he's not speaking on behalf of the team, but clearly there's an energy that Ronald Acuna has suffered from this his entire career.
Right. And also a part of it I thought was interesting was to choose to tweet after that particular play and the pettiness of it, in, as opposed to when they are lost seven straight to start the year, to put out an encouraging tweet, you know, and his stressing was just be a good teammate. He didn't think that was a being good, a good teammate. It was calling out a teammate. It was calling out his manager. And it's
his point is Snit's been dealing with Acuna stuff for a long, long time, and that, you know, it was, you know, low rent to go after his manager in that capacity. You got a guy supposed to be your teammate tweeting, probably out in L.A., something that is completely meaningless and stupid. And you got a guy supposed to be your teammate. So he said any notion that Snicker benched Acuna for lack of hustle is racist, is preposterous. He goes, you want to go farther with context? Acuna was warned time after time after time after time after time. Let's talk like 10 times to run before he ever got yanked. It's the first time Jared Kelnick's ever done it. Now, real quick, do I think Snit's answer was great? Probably not. He also didn't expect after winning two games in a row that he was going to have to talk about that. So
he said that Jared Kelnick was waiting for Snicker in his office on Easter morning in tears, apologizing. I hadn't heard about that.
Crying and apologizing.
Yeah. Waiting for
you want context?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
You talk about.
He also brought up in 2021, remember when the Marlins just liked to hit Ronald Acuna and it's Jose Urena in the first pitch of the game? And Jeff brought up his teammates weren't coming to his defense. It was Snicker who hopped out of the dugout and was giving everybody the business about that. That was his guy. He started crying in a press conference over Ronald Acuna, who he feels like is his son. Like, let's all remember this. This isn't about
you buried a teammate. He said it a couple of times. Mm-hmm. You buried a teammate. You sat out there somewhere else, and you took shots at a guy, Jared Kelnick, and that's how you chose. Whether you want to say it was directed at Snit, it certainly was an indictment of one of his teammates.
Right.
So he also says, we won a World Series without Ronald Acuna, and let's just make that clear. He's a great player, but we can win without him. So,
all right, now the elephant in the room, Steak, and I don't think I'm the only one feeling this way, because after it happened on Saturday night, I said to my husband, this is no more about that than the man in the moon. This is about a $100 million contract that Ronald Acuna signed in 2019. And he's sitting back as former MVP. And by the way, Jeff Francoeur said that Ronald Acuna Jr. is the best player to ever wear a Braves uniform. Most talented. Hank, Chipper, everybody. So he was giving him all the flowers about it. But in terms of money, you guys, this is an issue. This is going to be an issue when you watch Vlad Guerrero sign for 14 years, $500 million. You sign Juan Soto for the Mets, 15 years, $765 million. And then Fernando Tatis, 14 years, $340 million. Those are just three to go grab. That is as of late. And do you understand that Ronald's contract, which runs through 26 for $100 million, still the Braves are in charge come 27 and 28. They have the option, not Ronald Acuna. So this is going to be something stake. Now, do they present Ronald with a new contract because he's deserving? Is there trouble in River City with Ronald Acuna and his management? It's hard, stake, to be as good as you are in the face of your organization and as talented as a Braves player's ever been, ever, to have that kind of money being around the league and for you to come to work every day. It's hard.
It's life-changing money. It's generational on top of generational. Not that $100 million contract, you know, was. Listen, you make a decision. The Braves say, then don't take the money, right? I think, is it the kid from Georgia Tech, Kristen Campbell, Red Sox just did a 7-year deal with him. He's played 15 games in the majors or something like that. Like, the Braves set the precedent that these other teams
and by the way, they're doing that.
Well,
this is Alex's way.
Board.
He's signing the young kids, the younger players, and they're locking them up. That's the way we do business. Yes, you're protecting yourself. What if there's an injury? It's guaranteed money, all that. But with all due, Ozzy and Austin are not Ronald Acuna Jr. I feel like the Braves, at some point, in good faith, and to keep everybody happy and to keep him in a Braves uniform, are going to have to tear that thing up and do a do-over. And is he worth it? My answer is yes.
Jeff Francoeur, and he doubled down. He did an interview on Bleacher Report yesterday as well.
Oh, boy.
And just said, well, he just said, let's be very clear. The Atlanta Braves won a World Series without Ronald Acuna, okay? He's a great player. They won without him, and they can win without him. Like, that's not what's normally said in a city where you have a generational, most talented player in history, right? That's not normally what is said. He didn't get along with Freddie Freeman. That was a story. Brian Snicker obviously has had a very hard time trying to manage him, that, you know, less of late in that conversation, but early on, you knew Snit was frustrated. Snit used to say, I've got to get used to younger players. I got to get used to a new era. He's certainly referring more to Ronald than Ozzy Albies, but that was always a thing. And now you have a guy that was the broadcaster for the Atlanta Braves. Okay, he doesn't work for the Braves anymore, right? I don't know if he does any games. But, I mean, the scuttlebutt is Bush League move, talking smack from afar, throwing a teammate under the bus. They've won without him. Your point is exactly right. Hundreds and hundreds of million dollars to a guy that was 70-40, right? So,
and he's looking at a long road ahead to 2028 where the Braves will still.
He's not. There's no way.
There's
you're right.
Way. And by the way, and Braves fans, you want to talk about turning on one of your own? Twitter went off on Jeff Francoeur yesterday, and because they, I just asked you, is he worth it? He is worth it. You, if these players are making that kind of money, for Vlad Guerrero to get a $500 million deal for four, y'all.
Okay, Ronald so what do you do?
You're gonna have to
you're
tear up the
contract.
I'm running a business.
You didn't sign Freddie Freeman. I mean, I'll give Mike Bell credit in the afternoon, who keeps hampering on it. Why didn't you sign Freddie Freeman? Why Freddie Freeman, pay him the money? You're a big market team. You decided at a certain age you're not going to pay guys like that. So you're not paying Freddie Freeman. Are you going to pay Ronald Acuna? You didn't pay Freddie. Are you going to say the same thing about Ronald? We don't do deals like that. We don't do Juan Soto, Vlad Guerrero deals. It's not an easy situation. They have a way they do business. They wrapped him up early for this reason, but now.
Okay, well, Freddie's 35, so that's very different. You got.
So it would have been a 7-year deal at 33 years old?
I thought it was a 6-year, and they didn't want to pay
right.
the 6th year, okay?
Right.
So, I mean, those are apples and oranges. I am telling you, it's going to come down to, do you want to keep Ronald, and are you willing to pay him and tear up that contract? Or are you going to let this happen and something they're going to, are you going to trade him? Heck no. This is the most team friendly contract in terms of that money and
like
for the quality
time.
Of player. So way to go, Alex. And yes, if you're running a business, all of that is true. But I'm also going to tell you that Ronald Acuna Jr. and his injuries and everything that's happening, I think you got to tear up that contract, y'all.
It is a real conversation.
It is the real big story that no one is saying. Like, those little petty things, Jared Kelnick not running out to first would not bother him like that and that little antics, in my opinion, without, there's an under, it's like your wife getting mad at you, you didn't take out the garbage,
but you
there
really
was something
know what's
that
going
happened.
On. I think, I think there's a little bit of all of it. I definitely think it irritated him.
Yeah.
He doesn't like to be humiliated in that manner. You know,
well, then you haven't been paying attention to Braves baseball for many, 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 many years and how Bobby Cox would do. And Andrew Jones is the one that was most blatant. But I've seen many a player called into a tunnel from Bobby Cox and Snicker when you didn't know about it. And we didn't report it. OK,
but then why did you do it to Jared Kelnick? I mean, Jared Kelnick,
he literally said, I didn't see it.
That's the most ridiculous answer ever.
I do
what do you
think
mean
he's
you
lying? I think he's literally telling the truth.
And there's a real problem.
He shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, that's a real problem if your manager, when they looked at it again. I mean,
I don't like that answer, but I am telling you.
It's a ridiculous answer.
If you don't think behind the closed doors, players get called in all the time.
Okay, but it didn't happen to Kelnick.
Didn't happen to Kelnick, right?
So you have a Latin American group of players that says we get accused of being hot dogs, and Ronald Acuna that was benched, right, as their best player, and that Jared Kelnick, now he may have been crying and he may have been in his office, but the day it happened, nothing happened to him. So I think all of it's true.
I think the contract irritates him.
I think that irritated him. I think the way Snicker treats him and Freddie Freeman treated him, I think all of that irritates Ronald Acuna. And Freddie Freeman, by the way, was 32 years old, and what's to say that he wasn't going to have five great years? And by the way, how's that working out? Because Freddie Freeman's one of the best players in baseball. Is his third year not here? So, you know, is there any reason he's not going to be great next year and the year after?
And then go look at Dansby, who we all love and has great hair. He is not having great years.
Right. You made a decision there.
Yeah.
And let's see what Max Fried, how this plays out.
Oh, my God.
You never even considered.
Woo!
You never considered not signing him.
Yeah.
Right? Never considered it.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're going to hand $300-400 million to Ronald Acuna? This organization's going to do that? We'll come back and talk about
it. And I think Braves fans would say yes, please.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. A lot on the table. We'll listen to Braves fans when we come back. Hey, it's 10:04, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot to get to. We'll talk to Chip Carey coming up. Voice of the Cardinals, longtime friend. Just check in with him overall. Nice conversation. That's what we're here to do. Steak and Sandra, don't forget NFL draft tomorrow and Friday. Rusty Manziel, Drew Butler, myself will be giving you all the 2 hours that you need, and obviously the morning shift and everybody else. Best coverage of the NFL draft. Get on the Odyssey app for sure. Great conversation about Ronald Acuna, about Jeff Francoeur calling him out, essentially saying he's a bad teammate for what he did in this situation. Sandra, of course, saying there's no way that this contract is not hanging over his head, hanging over his people's head. You have handlers, you have agents, you have marketing folks. Ronald Acuna is one of the best players in the world, and his contract is awful for him. So that has to be wearing on him a bit, and how are the Braves going to handle it? Atlanta Braves are pretty clear what they'll spend and not spend. And with Freddie Freeman, I think we kind of knew that that thing was going to play itself out. At 32 years old, Freddie Freeman moved on to the Dodgers on a $160 million deal. Is that what you said?
With Freddie Freeman, 162, 6162. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a lot of money now, does it?
Right, right.
6 years,
and
162?
The sticking point was that sixth year.
Okay.
But let's all recall what happened. Again, I know it's bad blood, it feels like, because we, you know, Freddie. But apparently, Freddie was willing to talk one more time with Alex. Alex signs Matt Olson. The agent didn't tell Freddie. Do you remember all that drama that went down?
I heard the same thing about Glavine and Schurrholz. He was going to go to his house and didn't go to his house, or the last minute of the Mets thing. Listen, if the Braves wanted to sign Freddie Freeman, it would have got done.
Yeah,
you don't let Freddie Freeman walk out the door, go win MVP of the World Series, and spend the rest of his career in L.A. if you really wanted him. It doesn't happen because the Braves have a mindset of what they'll spend, and they're very smart about spending money, and they make a lot of money. And the battery has helped them make a lot of money, and the attendance has helped them make a lot of money, and the team-friendly contracts has helped them make a lot of money. And they make money. They'll spend when needed. They finish, obviously, in payroll in top five, top eight in overall payroll. Got to look at that again, but where are they in overall payroll?
Yep.
But the Ronald Acuna thing is real. And the guy, you know, guy's been injured. He won a World Series without him, but he's the most talented player we've ever seen in a Braves uniform, according to Jeff Francoeur, also threw Hank Aaron and Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones, everybody else in the mix. So, you know,
it's the Mets, the Dodgers, Yankees, Phillies, Jays, Rangers, Astro, Braves at eight.
So we're eight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 404-726-0929. Listen, when I say you have to be bold when you're the Atlanta Hawks, when I say bold, it's being willing to trade Trae Young. if you believe that the direction of the team right now of, you know, four consecutive years playing in the play-in, not being in the playoffs this year with all that, like Sandra said, you got Reese Jay, nice rookie. You got Dyson, defensive player of the year type. You got Trey Young leading the league in assists. What does that mean? You're not even in the playoffs. So be bold. With your head of basketball operations, be bold in deciding with Trey Young and be ready to take the heat in your city. It's not Luka Doncic. He didn't go to the NBA Finals. He didn't average over 30 a game. He's not a generational player. He's a very good player. Ronald Acuna, you're not being bold if you don't rework and re-sign him, right?
Right.
You're just saying we can't spend that money or sorry you have a bad deal. And by the way, you win with Ronald Acuna and you win without him. I get it, but you know, you're not, they're two different, but they're both the biggest superstars in our city for their teams, and then throw Bijan Robinson and Michael Penix on the other pro team, right? Mm-hmm. So it's Trae Young, Ronald Acuna, Bijan, Michael Penix Jr., whatever. It's a combination of those guys. In one case, you know, you don't contend for a championship. In the case of Ronald Acuna, you contend for a title. Mm-hmm. The ironic thing is, the most success you've had, the title that you've won, is with him not on the team, right? So, yes, he is why you contend every year. The Hawks
don't
contend.
But we sports fans have a very short memory, and from last year and even this year without him, no thank you. Like, we desperately, the Atlanta Braves desperately miss Ronald Acuna.
Okay, but
Jr.
The year that he had the 70, was it 70-40?
Mm-hmm.
We were knocked out by the Phillies in the first round. And he was healthy and he played. And then we dealt with last year when obviously it was an enormous mm-hmm. blow not mm-hmm. to have him. So, listen, it's not an easy answer. How do fans sit here? Can you fathom moving on from Ronald Acuna? Do you want the Braves? It's not your money. Why wouldn't you want the Braves to rework his deal and give him $300-400 million? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do we care? It's not my money. I mean, it's not gonna. It's gonna cost you $5 more to go to the ballpark. I don't know. But like, why are we worried about organizations?
Well, the Battery just proudly announced.
Yeah, their new office park. New
on
office
the day
building.
That Profar gets sidelined for 82 games.
Right.
So they're buying up property and making so much money, y'all. And even the amount of payroll, if you're in the top 10 there, they were in the top 5 last year in the amount of money that they're spending.
I'm curious from an Atlanta sports fan, because they're very different. There will be equal outrage if Trae Young gets traded and if Ronald Acuna doesn't get
equal. That will not be equal.
Right, meaning Ronald Acuna.
Acuna Jr., if they let him walk, it will be an outrage nobody's business.
So when Frank Gore says we won without him, people aren't going to have that mindset.
Oh, my gosh.
You got Willie Mays on your roster.
You just literally said he's the most talented Atlanta Brave. He's one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball.
But you also said you won a World Series without him.
Well, that's
true. You can win without
him.
And he's also had two significant injuries.
That's true. And on Twitter, folks, you guys are bringing that up. That is true. But I would ask you, that number, it's not a $300 million deal. Y'all, it was a $100 million deal.
I mean, you're
it's not fair market.
Yeah, you're not.
It's like if you're the top salesperson in your office and you're making $10,000 a year, and the guy that doesn't do as good as you and or maybe equally as good as you is making $200,000. That's the dramatic difference in the numbers with those players that I just mentioned. And to go to work in the same office, which I know we've all done it. I know what he's making, I know what she's making, and I don't think I'm being paid enough. It's not a fun place to go to work, Steak.
So I'll go to, I will make you pay when my contract is up. I'll remember this. I'm in the office. My boss, I just asked him. He said, that's the deal you signed. We'll look at it in 2 years. Yeah, it's not going to make for a good atmosphere. It may make for a guy tweeting from L.A., ripping on his teammate, right? Like you said, they all play into each other.
And then there's the holdout.
Right, which is the ultimate leverage.
That's exactly right. And guess who has it? Ronald Acuna Jr. That there are very few players in baseball that have it. He has it.
I know, but you don't hold out in baseball. You don't see it. I mean, it's just, it's.
But
it would
do you
be
agree that discrepancy of a number is it's not close?
It's preposterous what he's getting paid.
That's right. That's
versus
right.
Juan Soto and Vlad Guerrero. It's preposterous, the gap between the best players in baseball. It is. But that's what makes it kind of fascinating. Brad in Woodstock, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, Brad.
Hey, morning. Sandra, with all due respect, and I respect you a lot, I got to disagree. I'll start with the off-the-field antics, lack of hustle, not getting along with teammates. I played with a lot of talented guys that could be a cancer in the clubhouse, and I think we saw part of that. And I feel like Frenchie probably knows more than what we know, as close as he is to the team. Stat-wise, if you look in the past 5 years, there's 3 years where he hit sub-280 with less than 25 home runs. Pitchers in the major league are throwing more fastballs at this guy. They're pitching to contact. I don't know if this guy's getting in the cage. Is he working enough? I just don't think long-term this guy's worth a contract.
If he's under 25 homers, that's a full season? Or you're talking about years that he's injured?
Correct. I mean, last year's
he's injured. Yeah, listen, Ron.
I'm going to tell you that I hear a lot from the Atlanta Braves and inside information. I have never, ever heard cancer in the clubhouse. Ever.
Yeah, that's a little aggressive.
I've never, ever heard that. And if you don't think that Brian Snitker treats him like a son and is tough on him because he loves him, I mean, the injuries is the argument that I'll listen to, but all I'm saying is existing contract is preposterous, is the word stake. That's a perfect word. It's preposterous what this guy's making per year in comparison to the best players in Major League Baseball.
I would just say Brian Snitker loves all his guys. I don't know that they have a great relationship or, you know, I think he's a tough guy to manage because he had to get used to, you know, like Frenchie said, there's again and again and again and again. I mean, he kept saying it, that you've had to tell Ronald Acuña, this is how we play. It's a different mindset mm-hmm. that he's had to get used to. But man, oh man, I mean, he's like Willie Mays. That's what this guy's talent. I don't know what it's going to look like coming. Let's see what this year. It's going to be a fascinating year, man.
Yeah.
Does he come back and the Braves are 3 games under 500 in third place and fourth place, and now you're going to see what it's all about? Are you going to have to say again, like 3 years ago, hey, he needed a year after the ACL in order to have the next big year?
Braves fans, I'm throwing out the welcome mat to welcome him in that room. I don't know what you guys are thinking, but desperately, if you're watching Braves baseball
off the field,
can we please, please have Ronald Acuña get back?
When he says off the field, is he talking?
I don't know what.
Is that him talking about Freddie Freeman? And that he didn't care about.
By the way, nobody gets along with everybody in the room. I don't know. I just am going to disagree.
404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll talk more baseball with Chip Carrick coming up as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Steak and Sandra. Spirited conversation this morning. It's going to be all NFL, I would imagine, starting, you know, tomorrow and moving forward. But the Jeff Francoeur stuff with Ronald Acuña, the Acuña contract, just a lot of stuff with the Braves. Spencer Strider going to be down now. Got devastated in the locker room the other night saying, I haven't earned a penny for this team or done anything. And today we got a getaway game against the Cardinals. Talk to Chip Carey coming up. Kirk Cousins shows up at Falcons for the optional, right?
Yes.
The
voluntary OTAs. How do you perceive, where do you stand on the Kirk Cousins? How do you feel? The reason I'm asking, there's such vitriol with some hosts.
We got to get over ourselves. Like, whatever. Kirk Cousins, like a lot of guys, has his own best interest in mind, like most of us do. Take care of our families, take care of ourselves, watch out for ourselves, put out a public image that, you know, looks like you're absolutely the biggest team guy. But at the end of the day, trying to take care of yourself, mm-hmm. that's what he's doing. We shouldn't be angry with him for, you know.
I just haven't heard you say,
I mean, I get annoyed – by some of the backstory stuff and that it didn't work out, but whatever. It'll play itself out. He's being smart. He's showing up. He sent him a good teammate. He also wants to go somewhere he can start. So that stuff's interesting. NFL draft will be fascinating. Looks like Georgia's going to be all over the draft. We'll have that coverage for you. And then, obviously, the Hawks are going to hire ahead of a president of basketball operations. All that's planned out as well. But then you get a chance to talk to this guy. I mean, you've been traveling, not in an inappropriate way, because you're both married, but I mean, traveling.
We're both journalists.
Known him. Journalist! You've known him for a long, long time.
Yes. Chip Carey, our friend, former Brave announcer. It still hurts to say that, Chip. How are you? And thank you so much for coming
guys.
On.
Hey, my pleasure. Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Yes.
Nice to have you in town. What do you miss most about our fair city?
Oh, I miss my friends. You know, I had a great, wonderful group of incredible professionals that I spent a lot of time with. They became extended members of the family. You know, Gretchen Caney's a tremendous producer, working with Frenchie and Tom Glavine and Paul Bird and all the great folks on the TV crew. Just the folks around the ballpark, it's great to see so many smiling faces, and to be welcomed back so warmly is really rewarding, which means, we did a good job and we were good people. So it's nice to see everybody, and hopefully you'll be kind enough to let us leave town with a series win, and we'll see you next year.
No.
Hey, let's talk about your buddy Frenchie, and let's talk about him making headlines all over the country in baseball circles, where he basically says about Ronald Acuna that the comparison to Kelnick is apples and oranges, that this guy consistently had hustle issues with Snit. Then he says, we won without him. He's a great, talented player. Are you surprised with what Frenchie said? Had you heard that undercurrent of Acuna's mindset weared on Brian Snicker and the others in the organization? Where do you fall on that? And easier for Frenchie to say, would you agree, now that he's not full-time Braves announcer, than if he still was?
First of all, no, I'm not surprised that Jeff said what he said. I think that's one of the many things I admire about him is he calls it like he sees it, and he has the freedom to do that. And whatever Jeff's opinions are, they're his. Look, I'm not in that clubhouse. I'm not around. I'm not familiar with what Jeff said specifically. Everybody in baseball knows about the situation. And I like what Brian said, which was that every situation's different. I think that looking at it from the outside as being a former inside person, I think that everybody would agree that it wasn't handled well. If you got a problem with somebody, be a man and talk to him about it personally. Don't put it on social media. I mean, that's as weak as it gets as far as I'm concerned. Ronald can feel how he feels. Every situation is different. There was hustle issues. There were other issues that built up to it, which I'm sure is what Jeff alluded to. But make no mistake about it, Ronald's a great player, and I think that whatever criticisms people levy to him are meant to make him even greater. He's one of the bright stars of our game. It's a shame he's hurt. It's a shame he's missed so much time. Our game needs him out there doing the great things he does on the field, and the Braves organization certainly needs him out there doing what he's capable of doing for them to get where they want to go. But, at the end of the day, Harry Carey, my grandfather, said it best. They pay you to run hard four times a game, no matter who it is. And if it doesn't happen, it deserves to be called out. It deserves to be dealt with in whatever manner the manager feels like it's deserved to be handled. And obviously, in Brian's case, he's the manager of the team. He manages the personalities. He knows far better than the rest of us how to take care of it. And he took care of it the way he thought was best.
You've traveled with so many teams over the years. And you know when there's chemistry issues, you know who's a, jerk off in the clubhouse, who's a, drama queen and everything else. And then there's all this chemistry conversation. How much of that stuff do you think matters versus we got a bunch of studs that can hit the crap out of the ball, and if they don't all get along, it doesn't matter? And how much of that stuff were you around teams that was toxic when it affected them and others when it was overrated?
Well, look, there are teams that, the mustache gang in Oakland in the 70s, 50 years ago, those guys would fight as often as they would hit home runs, but they won three World Series back to back. You don't have to have a team full of guys that get along great, but you have to pull the rope the same direction every single day for 162 games. And I think that that's always been the case. At the end of the day, It's about playing games and winning games, no matter how you do it. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that Ronald Acuña Jr. and every single member who puts on the Braves uniform or the Cardinals uniform, for that matter, is focused on doing that. So is chemistry important? Absolutely. But at the end of the day, if you can play and you win, nobody really at the end of the day cares what kind of a guy you are, sadly, because right. the game's full of guys that are really, really talented guys that aren't necessarily the nicest people in the world. But if they have talent and they help you win, people put up with it.
Not going to make you say it, but do you have three or four guys that probably are as difficult and unpleasant as ball players as you had to deal with over the years doing this?
Oh, yeah, sure. But sure, and I'm sure they felt that I was unpleasant and difficult, too. That's just part of the nature, right? You know, you're not going to. You know, you're not going to be friends with everybody. It's just the nature of life. I mean,
nobody
sure
said that about you.
I was going to say, did somebody ever say that about you?
Nicest human on the earth.
But you know, I mean, that's life. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I'll just speak for myself. I don't need the players' admiration or
friendship
to do my job.
Right.
Would it make it easier? Absolutely. Does it make it easier to root for them? Sure it does. Does it make it easier to help tell their story or maybe frame things in a different way? For example, you can, you know, if a player's not doing well, you can say, well, he's really struggling, but man, he's working on this and we're seeing signs that he's coming out of it. Or you can say, he's 0 for 42 with 25 strikeouts, and he just struck out again, right?
Right.
And I think the smart players and the smart people in our business understand that by co-opting the media and just being kind or at least respective of the job that we have to do goes a long way for both parties, and everybody wins.
Jim Carrey, voice of the Cardinals, former Atlanta Brave teammate of mine, it feels like. Hey, did Wilson Contreras get awfully excited about a walk last night or what?
Hey, the way he started, he's happy to get on base any way he can. That was a big play. But that was a big play in the game, you know?
It was.
And he's a passionate, fiery player, and he's a big, big part of what we're trying to do in St. Louis, and he's made the transition from a catcher to a first baseman almost seamlessly. And for us to get where we want to go this year and in the future, we need more games like that from Wilson Contreras. And look, I think it's funny, too. You know, we talk all the time about how sometimes players or professional athletes are too sterile. They're too coddled. They're too protected. They're too unwilling to show emotion. When a player shows it, and yeah, you know, he's not on your team, everybody takes umbrage at it. Look, it's a tough game played by tough guys. And I personally like the guys that are passionate on both sides of the field, because it gets the fans involved. It's great entertainment. And after all, we're in the entertainment business. And yeah. Guys like Contreras, when they're going and going good, they're really, really entertaining. And for us, we hope he is again today.
Chip Carey with us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So two incredibly interesting, passionate fan bases. You spent, I don't know what the number is, over a decade here doing the Braves. Your history and your family in St. Louis, now doing the Cardinals. Nobody better to ask. What is the tangible comparisons between Braves country, Cardinals history? How do you compare and contrast best you can those two groups?
Well, I think they're so remarkably alike. The cultures are very different. There's a commitment to excellence from the ownership group all the way down to the folks who work part-time at the ballpark. There is a great deal of pride, more so in the front of the uniform than the back of the uniform. There is a commitment to excellence in developing your own players and creating a style of play that fans can get behind even when things aren't going particularly well. I mean, I have such great respect for what John Schuerholz did here, what Bobby Cox did, and what Brian Snitker is doing here as the Braves. I mean, it's just been a seamless transition and continuation of what was started here so many years ago. And the same is true in St. Louis, you know, the Cardinal way. Guy by the name of George Kissel, who worked tirelessly in the minor leagues, teaching guys how to play baseball at the major league level. Jim Beauchamp did the same thing. He was a former Cardinal, too. Jim Beauchamp did that with the Braves before his untimely passing not so long ago. The fan bases care. They're passionate. They love what they see. They care about their players, and they've had some of the greatest of all time wear their uniform. I mean, Henry Aaron played for the Atlanta Braves. Stan Musial played for the St. Louis Cardinals. Look, if you're a baseball fan and you love and admire our sport, it doesn't get any better than that. Hopefully, we'll both keep rolling.
Does it matter a little more in St. Louis because of the market? And I don't know. I don't want to say it means. I mean, it's like it's not the only game in town, but there's no NFL. There's no NBA. There's not really college. Do the Cardinals mean more to that entire region than any team almost in Major League Baseball?
I think there aren't as many distractions when it comes to baseball season. And look, I grew up in St. Louis. I was born and raised there. And opening day is a civic holiday. And in many places, and I'm not saying that's the case in Atlanta, but in many places, it's just another day on the calendar for our community, which, you know, spans, you know, all of St. Louis and, of course, the western side of Illinois and a big, big chunk of the Midwest. This is who we are. Whether you're in North County, St. Louis, South County, St. Louis, across the river in Illinois, no matter your race, color, creed, or religion, when the Cardinals start playing, if you're a baseball fan, you're rooting for the Cardinals. It's the one great unifying force that we have in our city. And our city's going through some things downtown, as you all, I'm sure, are aware. But it's getting better, and the Cardinals are an important driver for that civic pride, an important economic driver for the overall health of our city. And look, when the Cardinals are good, St. Louis is good. And when the Braves are good, Braves Country comes out in force, too. These teams are great things around which our communities rally, and I think that's a great similarity, too, and something both franchises should be very, very proud of.
Wrapping it up with Chip Carey, voice of the Cardinals. Favorite thing about what you get to do every day, a long summer ahead, you don't have a very good baseball team, but what's the most fun thing about everything about
your gig? Being with people. Look, I'm 60 years old now. It doesn't seem possible, but we get to hang around with young people who see the world in a very different and unique way, which keeps us engaged and thinking about things in a different manner. You're around young people, which keeps you young. I work with very, very, very talented people who love what they do. I'm blessed to work with Oliver Marmol, our manager, who's a great, great guy, youngest manager in Major League Baseball, but he's taught me so much about the game that I thought I knew and didn't. Being around a place where I grew up and admired and have so much family history is awesome. The fact that my kids are doing this too and want to continue the family business, as it were, this is our family's 80th year doing Major League Baseball. Wow. And somehow, some way, I've been able to pass that along to my three sons too. Look, we're blessed. Baseball is a huge part of our lives. It's a small part of who I am, but make no mistake about it. I don't walk into a ballpark every day without realizing that baseball is giving me and my family everything. And I'm eternally grateful, not just to the people who hire me, but the people who invite us into their rooms every night. And we don't take that lightly, neither here in Atlanta nor in St. Louis. And hopefully I can be blessed enough to keep doing it for another 15, 20 years and then hand the torch to somebody else. But it's a joy to come to work every day. And it's great to come back, as I said, and see old friends back here in Atlanta every year, too.
Well, good luck other than today. Hope you have a fun year.
I understand.
You know how it goes.
Thanks,
Chip.
It's going to be interesting. We're going to be fun. We'll see you guys soon. We'll see you guys before the All-Star break. And have a good All-Star game. And good luck to you guys the rest of the way.
All right. Chip Carey, voice of the Cardinals, will play three strikes. Check in on a few other matters.
May I interrupt you?
Yes.
Y'all, the Kirk Cousins thing could be going down.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I'll wait through the break.
Okay.
You going to tell me in the break or I got
to
wait?
Nope, you have to wait.
Sports Radio 92.9. It's 10:44. This last segment is brought to you by Wise Guys. Wise Guys. That's what I'm talking about.
WiseGuysProWash.com.
What are you, friggin' wise guy? Stop it. Anyways,
the night, it's not. It's game of the day. We got a 12:15, we got a nooner, y'all. Braves take the series. Let's go. Bryce Elder on the mound. 12:15 start. Then Braves are off tomorrow. I thought it was nice of them to be off tomorrow so we could focus on the draft, which brings me to... You ready for the Diana Russini article?
Yeah, I mean, you got something on this Kirk Cousins situation.
Yeah, so three teams. I don't know that this is such a breaking news story, but it seems, according to Diana Russini from The Athletic, is reporting.
She's a real journalist.
Journalist? Yeah, three teams, and I don't think you'll be surprised. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Trade. Terry Fontenot also this morning responding to that number that you heard was $20 million. He said that is not accurate. So we heard that whatever team that wants to trade for him is going to have to pick up $20 million. He said that is not accurate. And I did say to state during the break, is there any motive for both the Falcons and Kirk Cousins, because any trade, y'all, Kirk has to sign off on, for them to get this done before the draft?
Yeah, I would think more incentive to get it done after the draft.
Me too.
So like you said, he doesn't get Michael Penix, right?
Yeah, at wherever he's going.
Right. Listen, if he goes to Pittsburgh, he's going to get Aaron Rodgers.
Or
right?
Shadur Sanders, if you're hearing, if Shadur falls that low and or they move up to get him.
I mean, Minnesota, they love J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Listen, just look at the tape when they're 6-3. It wasn't 4 years ago, right?
That's right.
It's not a bad narrative. I was hurt. Before I was hurt, I was throwing for 400 yards. I was winning games. I was a playoff team. Then I got hurt.
Right.
I remember what he said. I did not forget how to play quarterback. I did not forget. And he was at Falcons yesterday at the optional,
voluntary workouts.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, if you're an NFL GM, you could do a lot worse than thinking about him being your starter or backup. The irony would be that Arthur Smith would be his offensive coordinator when all is said and done. And by the way, I'm going to give you a three-strike questions. And then I'm going to give you three-strike questions. Then I'm going to tell you the Marcus Mariota stuff that you sent us. Athlete you thought was soft. Marcus Mariota interview yesterday. I was just like, dude, that guy does not have the mindset to be your alpha male in the room quarterback. The
job you hated going to,
and an underrated mob movie or TV show. I don't remember why I was thinking about mob movies. There is a show on Showtime now called Mob City, I think it is, or whatever. And when I say underrated, please don't say Goodfellas, and please don't say
Sopranos.
Yeah. Say Donnie Brasco or say Blow, I think, kind of a mob movie, or just be creative. Because what's the Denzel movie that was phenomenal? He plays leader of a syndicate. Underrated mob movie, Donnie Brasco. Is that what I said?
You said Donnie Brasco.
Okay.
Yeah.
Underrated mob movie or TV show, the job you hated going to, athlete that was soft. We're not going to play the Marcus Mariota interview. What podcast was that he was on?
I don't remember. Right. It wasn't that riveting, except...
He just explains about his reputation that he quit on the Falcons, and he just goes into this lengthy story about Art when Arthur Smith benched him, and he's like, I was okay with it. You know, I understand he's got a tough job. I talked to my agent. I had to get my knee done. It was going to be a couple of weeks. And then Arthur said some things when I was, away that I couldn't come back. You know, I couldn't come back from what he said. So I just decided to leave altogether. And I probably should have handled it differently and been in front of my teammates. I mean, we all remember how it happened. You got benched and you quit. You left. You had your surgery. You never came back. It was a super, bad, like really bad ending.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Dez got the job. We all knew I had a 2-year deal. I was going to be there for Dez. I was going to get my knee done. And then I was coming back. But then Art said some things and we couldn't recover from. And, you know, in hindsight, he shouldn't have said what he said. And I should have not left my team at that. Okay. When I listen to him talk,
yeah.
I say, that guy is not the guy to lead my football team. I thought that when I watched him on QB.
That's when I thought that. I was like, gosh, he just doesn't.
He doesn't have a grit.
Yeah.
A unrelenting passion. I mean, I hate to be cliched. And even the way he talked about getting benched, he's like, I was going to be there. I was going to be a good teammate. And whatever Dez needed, I was going to be there for him. And like, all right, dude, like, you know, I'm not mad at Art. I saw him the other day. I'm sure he regrets what he said. And I'm thinking, dude, come on. Like, be an alpha, man. You're an NFL quarterback. I mean, to think what Falcon fans have been through, man. The end of the Matt Ryan era, Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder, Kirk Cousins. What kind of 4-year saga have we had to endure? I mean, you know, watching Matt Ryan get – you know, pushed aside for the Deshaun Watson. Remember, it starts with that as well.
It sure does.
We're going to try to get Deshaun Watson and the greatest player in the history of the franchise is going to be ushered out for a guy that had 25 charges against him from 25 different massage parlors, and he's going to be the leader of our team, and we're going to push out the absolute gem of a human being that was Matt Ryan, and then we're going to say Marcus Mariota's ready to go. And then we're going to go, no, our third-round pick, Desmond Ridder, is ready to go. And then we're going to say, no, Kirk Cousins is ready to go. We're going to give him $120 million. And nobody was ready to go. Nobody. Because we didn't make the playoffs. So, you know.
Again, didn't make the
playoffs. And now we got Michael Penix Jr. And, you know, fingers crossed, prayer, you know. Pray to God that this is going to work out for us. 404-726-0929. An athlete that you thought was soft, a job you hated going to, and an underrated mob show or movie. 404-726-0929. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world that somebody's going to go get Kirk Cousins because he's not going to be expensive. Mm-hmm. You're not giving up a high draft pick. You're not spending a ton of money. Why would that not happen, right?
And the Falcons, he's better than what you have in your building. It's real simple.
Yeah.
The have and the
have
not.
Or he's the ultimate insurance policy, which is why part of me says, I don't know, man.
He's here. Yeah.
To have Kirk Cousins here and know if Michael Penix Jr. goes down, that guy's coming in for him and can absolutely win the game that he comes in or win the next week that he comes in. I mean, I almost say, don't worry about the quarterback room. Quarterback room will be fine. Kirk Cousins paid a lot of money to hold a clipboard. He'll be fine. His family will be fine. They live in Georgia. Life is, you know, there are a lot of people with life could be a lot tougher than that. We ready to take calls? All right, let's do what we're supposed to do. It's a lot going on today.
I know, I mean, flew by.
A lot going on. Give us a couple of calls, though, here. Bo's flying solo, but help him out.
And thanks, John Foy, for our game of the day. 404-726.
What is our game of the day?
I already told you. Oh, Braves and Cardinals.
I don't think I listen to you when you do that because...
Just in general.
Well, no, I do listen. I do listen, but not when I'm trying to do my three strike. It's hard to have three questions every day. Mm-hmm. Everybody
But you don't want help. Like, if somebody has a suggestions, you bite our heads off. So I just leave you alone. So there you go.
Some create with clay, pastels, in a kitchen. Others
with butter,
with meaningless questions. Ryan in Atlanta, who's an athlete you thought was soft?
Oh man, this one's so easy. LeBron James.
A job that you hated going to?
Oh man, I grew up in West Georgia, so I worked a lot of odd and end construction jobs, a lot of residential construction jobs back then. Being so young and staying out all night, any of those jobs would take the cake on that.
Underrated mob show or movie?
A Bronx Tale.
Oh, tremendous. Chaz Palminteri, absolutely perfect film. Thank you. That's what that is. That is a perfect film, A Bronx Tale. Mm. Shannon and Chambly, an athlete you thought was soft.
Yeah, I think his name was Andrew Galata. He fought Mike Tyson, and in the middle of the fight, he started crying.
Yeah.
I think his name was Galata.
No, yeah.
Can't blame him, though.
Typically, bawling in the ring is not the intimidation factor you're looking for. The job you hated going to?
Dishwasher back in the day.
What was it?
Dishwasher.
Oh. Yeah. Hey, give me an underrated mob show or movie.
This is why I wanted to call in. The Wannabe.
The Wannabe?
The Wannabe.
I'll look it up.
Okay.
Tinker in Kennesaw. The athlete you thought was soft?
I'm going to go with CM Punk when he was in the fake fight and wrestling, and he tried to go to UFC and got spanked like a redheaded stepchild.
Wow.
The job you hated going to?
I did cooking at the concession stand at my sister's rec league softball.
Give me the unheralded, underrated mob movie or TV show.
Black Mass.
Oh, Black Mass is so good. Johnny Depp in that. Great call. Playing Whitey Bulger. One of the best roles Johnny Depp's ever done. What was the job Rusty? Steel mill? What was the job Rusty did in Rome? Was it a steel mill?
I think it was some kind of mill.
Dude.
Or something like that. That was very hot.
4 years, that
need
guy.
To see pictures of that.
Did you hear him talk about
it,
that?
Yeah.
For 4 years.
Yeah.
Working a steel mill. And now he gets to sit next to me. You talk
I mean,
about
what an upgrade.
You talk Ooh. About a life that is from rags to riches. We're back tomorrow. Thanks, Bo. Bye.